So we came back to here to the States, and the Lord opened the doors for us to go to Spain, where we have served the last 9 years with a focus on leadership development, leading and teaching a Bible Institute, mentoring pastors and pastors' wives, and walking with them and just seeing what God's doing in the world today. You know, a lot of times people are saying, with everything that's going on, it looks like everything's out of control, right? And maybe you've thought that here in America. Maybe as you look at wars in Europe, who would have ever imagined it? And yet, I want to tell you all today that God is in control. He is the sovereign Lord. He is sovereign over the nations, and He is sovereign over your life. The movements of the nations and the circumstances of your life are under His control, and He's carrying out His purposes. And of course, lots of people are saying, well, what purpose does God have in the midst of all this chaos? And of course, Jesus told us this was going to come. There would be wars and rumors of wars. There'd be famines and pestilences. In fact, we read of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and you have conquest and war and famine and death, and we see it. We see it. We're living in the last days. It's just the beginning of birth pains, as Jesus called it. But in the midst of this, He's carrying out His purposes, and His overriding purpose in the nations today is to call out a people from every tribe and every tongue and every language. We see in the book of Revelation that the Lamb of God, who's before Him who's seated on the throne, gave His own blood to redeem people from every tribe and tongue and nation. And He's doing that today. It's amazing what God's doing. I don't know if you realize that there are more Muslims coming to Christ today than ever before. You don't hear about that in the news. And God is. Sometimes you say, well, boy, it looks like the church is going downhill in North America, and I'm not qualified to speak to that. But let me tell you that the Lord's at work here in North America, and He's at work in other parts of the world where there's explosive church growth, where people are turning to the Lord in massive numbers. And the great need today in the world is for leadership development, trying to find leaders who are biblically qualified, grounded in the Word. I tell you, dear friends, God's at work. God's at work. And as you pray for missions, and many of you have prayed for years, and we're grateful for that. These 40 years of missionary service for Claudia and me has been because you've prayed and you've given faithfully to the Great Commission Fund of the Alliance. And now we're in our last home assignment. And in July of next year, we will no longer be receiving our salary from the Great Commission Fund. We'll be moving on to what God has for us in next stages of ministry. And we would really appreciate your prayers as we're looking to the Lord for what He has for us as we move ahead. We're presently living in North Georgia. We have a daughter who lives in Miami. We just drove up from Miami, spent a few days with her. And now this afternoon, we'll be going back to Northeast Georgia. And we have three boys that live in Georgia. We're looking to settle down in Georgia, believing God to purchase a home, a miracle in these days. We're believing God for it, and we would appreciate your prayers. And after service, if anyone would feel led of the Lord, you say, I want to pray for the Irvins, please let us know. Give me your email address. We'll put you on our prayer letter mailing list, and you can keep up with our journeys as we continue to follow the Lord. And we read today from Romans chapter 10, and I'd like you to turn once again in your Bibles. And I noticed in the bulletin you have on the back of the bulletin the acronym SOAP, right? Scripture, observation, application, and prayer. And I hope that while we're studying this passage in Romans 10, that you will prayerfully listen and see what the Lord's saying to you in this particular passage of Scripture. I just want to read, to underline here, once again, verses 14 through 17. Would you stand with me as we read this paragraph once again? I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Romans 10, verses 14 through 17. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. I invite you to keep your Bibles open to this passage. We'll be studying specifically verses 9 through 17, but before we do so, let's pray as we stand. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. May your glory cover all the earth. For you alone are worthy, O God, and we give you all praise and glory. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word to us today. Living word it is. And I ask that you move in the power of your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our minds what you have to say to us today in your word. Lord, fill your servant fresh anew with a double portion of your Holy Spirit, that he may proclaim your word in all the authority and all the clarity of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in God the Holy Spirit. I praise you, Heavenly, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Today we're ending our third week of 18 weeks that we're going to spend in Florida this year. So we get a little break now going back to Georgia, and then we'll be coming back, I think, for 4 or 5 weeks. And then in the spring, we're going to be visiting many of the churches in Southwest Florida that were affected by the hurricane. 18 weeks, so 3 down, 15 to go. And God's laid on my heart during the ministry in the churches, because we go from church to church, right? We start out in Middleburg, up in Hilliard and Callahan, and now we're here. When we come back, we're going down to Miami, be preaching in Spanish in Miami. There at the Hialeah, Iglesia Alianza de Hialeah, and others. But God's laid on my heart, and I'm believing him in these tour churches, and I'd like you to pray with me that as we minister in the churches, that God would extend his hand for salvation, would extend his hand for healing, and would extend his hand to call people to serve him wherever he sends them, to do whatever he tells them to do. And that's my prayer this morning as we meet together. The Apostle Paul here in Romans 10, in verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There is only one name given among men whereby anyone could be saved. It's the name of Jesus. And God has chosen that it's through the simple message of the gospel that people can be saved. Now, what's the gospel? I find it amazing today that we could ask that question even here among ourselves and maybe get as many different answers as there are individuals. But let's not be mistaken today, but rather reaffirm that the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God became a man and dwelt among us. He died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again from the dead for our forgiveness. That's the gospel. When Jesus came preaching, he said, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." So what does it mean to believe the gospel? It's not just to affirm the truths of the gospel that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. But belief implies a total trust commitment from the heart. It's why Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, what does confess mean? You agree with what God says. That's why we talk about confessing sin. You agree with what God says about your sin. When you confess the Lord Jesus Christ, you're confessing what God the Father says about God the Son, that he is the Lord and Savior of the world. You confess with your mouth. But that confession with the mouth is only empty words unless you believe in your heart. To believe in the heart is that trust commitment where one gives his or her life completely to the Lordship of Christ and believes in him only as Lord and Savior. Because Paul says everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. You know, we live in a day and age where there are lots of people, celebrities and others, who will say, well, I'm a person of faith. I'm a person of faith. Just the other day, we were talking to an individual down there in Miami, and we were initiating a spiritual conversation, and she didn't say in so many words, but it's like, well, I was born believing. I've always believed. No, the Bible says you were born in sin. You weren't born a child of God. I wasn't born a child of God physically. I was born a child of wrath. We all stand condemned before a holy God. And faith is a gift that God gives us. It's a miracle. You know, I'm afraid that sometimes we're Christians who have been Christians for a long time, they begin to lose the awe and wonder of their salvation. It was a miracle that God saved you. It was a miracle that God saved me. Faith isn't just worked up within ourselves. It comes from the very throne of God. It's a gift. And that faith causes us to believe. And we will not be put to shame. We will not be put to shame before the living God. For the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. He is coming again. We're living this beginning of birth pangs. I don't know how long it's going to go. I'm sure that a thousand years ago, they thought they were living in the beginning of birth pangs. The Bible doesn't give us the exact chronology. We don't know how much the time frame is. But I suppose that Claudia is not the only mother who's here, and grandmother. And those of you who had children, you know what the beginning of birth pangs are. I remember when Claudia, she'd start feeling something, you know, maybe a little bit in the back. And this might have happened, what'd they call them, Braxton Hicks? Contractions, you know, this might have happened a month ahead or something. Okay, it was just the beginning. It was just the beginning. Well, what happens as you get closer to birth? What happens to those pains? Boy, they become unbearable. We're just in the beginning of birth pain. But the day is coming when in the midst of great suffering and tribulation and trial, Jesus will come again. He'll judge the living and the dead. And on that day, dear friends, those who have believed in Christ will not be ashamed. They will not be ashamed. Verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's no other name given among men whereby someone can be saved. It's only the name of Christ. Some people say, well, why do we send missionaries? No, the Irvins, for example, we've served in Colombia, Argentina, Canada, Spain. People say, well, in Spain, isn't everybody Roman Catholic? Of course, they have hundreds of years of Roman Catholic tradition. But do they know Christ? Do they believe in their heart? That's really the question. And that could happen right here in the United States. Well, I was born a Christian. I was born into an evangelical home. I was born a Protestant. I tell you, dear friends, Roman Catholicism does not save. Protestantism does not save. Being an evangelical does not save you. Only Christ saves you. Only Christ saves you. And everyone who calls on his name will be saved. So why do we send missionaries? Why do we share the gospel with others even here? Well, Paul has this series of rhetorical questions. In fact, the book of Romans, I forget how many rhetorical questions are in this book. It's incredible, this way of he has of communicating here. Look at these questions that comes forth. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? But you tell me. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they? Well, the answer is, they can't. They can't call on someone in whom they have not believed. Second question. And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? What's the answer to that? Well, they can't. They can't. And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Well, they can't. I mean, obviously the preaching could come over the internet or through the radio waves or maybe through a written tract, but there has to be this proclamation of the Word of God, the gospel, for someone to believe. For as Paul says in verse 17, faith comes from hearing. And hearing through the word of Christ. Let me tell you, it doesn't come from seeing. You know, we have an expression in English, seeing is believing. Well, in the gospel, it's hearing gives ground to believe. We have to be real careful with this, friends. I have talked with so many people who say, well, I don't share the gospel verbally. My life is my witness. Now, I haven't talked to any of you, so I don't know if you've ever said that, but I want to challenge that statement, that your life is your witness. Okay, yes, we need to live consistently with our confession of the gospel of Christ. Otherwise, our sharing with others would be meaningless. But if you think someone can come to Christ just by looking at your example, do you really mean that? Is your life so crystalline, pure, that they can just look at you and watch you and know that God became a man and died for them on the cross? Really? You're that good? No, dear friend. It takes this verbal proclamation. Sometimes we talk about gospel presence. I tell you, without gospel proclamation, there is no gospel presence. There may be a Christian presence. I'll never forget when we were in Bogota, we pastored there for 6 years, out of those 20 years, pastored a church in the capital of Colombia, Bogota. And during that time, members of our church, There were members who were part of the Colombia Diplomatic Corps, and they had spent 2 years in a Middle Eastern country in a Muslim context. They were telling us about their experience. And they told us that when they were getting ready to leave, after those 2 years, 2 year posting there, that neighbors came to wish them farewell. And the neighbors just began to say, you have been such wonderful people. You're such good neighbors. We hate for you to go. You are good Muslims. And they realized that in their 2 years among those people, although they had lived the witness, they hadn't even told anyone they were believers in Christ. And as they spoke to us, they hung their heads in shame. No, dear friends, it is by hearing the gospel that people come to Christ. God's chosen to do it that way. He's chosen the foolishness of preaching. Now, somebody say, no, there are other ways of doing this. You could think of a better way, right? Now, he has chosen the proclamation of the cross of Christ to be the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. That's just what he's done. And that's why we send missionaries. Now, today, a lot of people will say, well, these people in their own context, whatever context that is, could be a Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, animistic, you name it. As long as they worship their God sincerely, they will be saved. Have you heard someone say that sometime? It doesn't matter. You just believe what you believe, and you believe with your whole heart, and you'll be saved. That is so foreign from what the scriptures teach. If that's true, why would God send his only begotten son to suffer and die on the cross? Why? It's only through Christ. And somebody might say, well, that's not very inclusive of God, is it? Well, hold on just a minute. Because God says, Paul says here in verse 12, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, verse 12, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. We talk about the Jews as being the chosen people. And yet the fulfillment of that is that not only now is it for just Jews, it's for us Gentiles as well. It's for people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation. It's open. Whosoever will may come. It's good news. And yet, it can bring forth the wrath of man. While we're in Spain, a lot of people ask, well, how do people respond to the gospel? Well, believe it or not, the Alliance in Spain, with only about 30 churches in the whole country, most of our church members are actually immigrants. Immigrants from Latin America, immigrants from Africa. Although not in the Alliance, there are many Christian immigrants from Romania who have churches in Spain. We actually have in the Alliance, in Madrid, Spain, we have a Chinese church. And we preach there prior to coming back to the States in June. Obviously with a translator. Spaniards and most Western Europeans tend to be very resistant. They've heard it all through the ages, through the Roman Catholic Church. But somehow there's this mix of religious tradition with this European postmodern agnosticism. It's complex. I don't begin to understand all the roots of that, but it creates pretty hard soil spiritually. But what's interesting is when we have shared the gospel with our Spanish friends and neighbors, and during these 9 years, we reached out to neighbors. And where we lived the last 4 years, we said, how are we going to get to our neighbors? And because we saw in the summer, everybody was congregated around the pool. Most everybody in Madrid lives in apartment complexes, and many of them have a pool right in the middle. And all the children go and then to the pool, and then the parents have their lawn chairs out and talking to one another. And we looked out our fifth floor window and we said, how do we get down there? Sometimes we don't feel like we look good in a bathing suit. So how do we get down there? Well, Claudia made some brownies. And I went down there and I went to all these people. We'd never met them before. Look, my wife is making brownies. She's got these two types of brownies and we need you to tell us which one you like the best. Oh, man, the parents took them and then the kids came. And from that day on, everybody in that whole place knew us. And we'd reach out, we'd share with them, and at Christmas, at Thanksgiving, we'd send messages on cards, and we would do everything we could to present Christ. You know the response we most normally receive? It wasn't antagonism. It was indifference. Well, that's good for you. But let's move on to another subject. And maybe you found that true here in the States as well. Indifference. It's an insidious form of resistance. Dear friends, it's only the power of the gospel that can break that. You know, sometimes we say, well, I'm not going to share the gospel yet with this friend, this family member, this co-worker, because I don't know if they're open. You don't know if they're open until you share the gospel with them. How else are you going to know? It's like we want to find people that have a big O on their back, open. Well, it's not that way. I tell you, you share the gospel with somebody, you're going to find out immediately if they're open. Immediately. And sometimes even initial resistance can be worn away and people come to Christ. People come to Christ. A couple we walked with there, he's a Spaniard. She is approved. I forget exactly how they met, but they did. They got married. Vicente and Tania. Tania had heard the gospel in Peru. Vicente didn't want anything to do with it. He got married, living in Madrid, and then a crisis came into their lives. One of their children, a little baby boy, was in the emergency room in critical condition. And Tania reached out to only help she knew what to look for. She found a bulletin promoting a church service, and the pastor was a Peruvian pastor. Long story short, Vicente came to Christ, a Spaniard. Long story short, he studied in the Bible Institute. Long story short, today he's a pastor of church in Fuenlabrada, just outside of Madrid. I tell you, that's what God can do. That's what God can do. Let the Word of God do what it's going to do. Someone once asked A.W. Tozer, what does he do? What did he do to defend the Word of God? He says, I do with the Word of God what I do with a lion. They looked at it. And yeah, I just let it out of its cage. Let the Word do what it's going to do. And you just share the gospel and let the Word do what it's going to do. We send missionaries into the world because Christ commanded us. Because Christ is worthy. Because the world is lost apart from the gospel. So how can they hear? Verse 14. Without someone preaching. Well, they can't. And how are they to preach unless they're sent? They can't. As it is written, Quote from Isaiah, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Now I know that we live in a day and age of spas and foot care, and I'm not going to ask any of our sisters here to reveal their paint on their toenails. But that's not really the point. When we were in Colombia, we had the privilege of meeting a dear brother, a Payas Indian. Maybe you've never heard of the Payas tribe, the Andes Mountains there. Porfirio Oca. When we met him, he was already a senior citizen, elderly man. But he came to Christ. He was the first one in the Payas tribe to come to Christ. So he began to go around speaking the gospel to others. He wanted others in his tribe to know Christ. Well, so when he was doing that one day, some people who didn't like that, they took Porfirio, they bound him in ropes, and they burned his feet. Burned his feet. Put his feet literally to the fire. It took a while to recuperate. But Don Porfirio, he got to the point where he could walk again. He went back preaching the gospel. And today, among the Payas tribe, there's a thriving church. And I never asked Don Porfirio to show me his feet. You just don't ask someone that. But I want you to know they were beautiful. They were beautiful. And so are your feet when you proclaim the gospel. And so are the feet of those you send in prayer and in giving. God's at work today. You're part of what God's doing. He invites you. Be a part of this great global work of God among the nations and beginning right here in Jackson. So faith comes from hearing. And as you have heard today, may the Lord fill you with faith as you take your place in the Great Commission. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you and I praise you that today you've had a message for us. I rejoice in you, Heavenly Father, that your word will not return you void. So now, Lord, take this word that's been sown in hearts and it might bear fruit for salvation, fruit for healing, fruit for lives yielded to your Lordship to say, here am I, send me. Amen. Now, here's what I'd like to do, maybe before we start music. Thank you. Sorry, I didn't coordinate. As I mentioned before, we've asked God this tour of churches to extend his hand for salvation. And I don't know if any of you are here today, and quite honestly, you're being confronted by the word of God and you don't know you've truly been saved. Well, today, I invite you to respond. And we will pray with you and lead you to Christ as your Savior. And we're asking God to extend his hand for healing. And I don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe you have something you've never even shared with someone, but you're saying, I want to believe Christ today is my healer. We want to pray for you.
And then if God's spoken to you today and you say, you know, you, the Urbans, you're finishing your missionary career. Maybe it's time for me to take your place. We want to pray with you, especially. So, as we sing, Brian really talked the details here, but, you know, if the Lord is dealing with your heart and you want to seek him for healing, why don't you just, as we're singing, you come up here on this side. Yeah. And then if the Lord is dealing with you in other matters, as I've mentioned, you come on this. Brian and the team will be here ready to pray for you. We believe Christ is our healer. He is our help. We come to him, believing him to infuse his own resurrected life in our mortal bodies. That's the Jesus we serve. And then if God's speaking to you about how Christ is your Savior, come over here. And if you're saying, I need to go, I want to have beautiful feet too. Come over on this side. Claudia and I will be on this. Is that okay? All right. Well.